This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Tonight, I'm going to teach you about a four-letter word. A four-letter word. It's a four-letter word that every person in this room must deal with. It is the word fear. Every person who ever walked the face of the earth at some time in their life, and most of us often have to deal with some form of fear. And right now, we are surrounded by all sorts of things that could cause fear in our lives. I want to start with a scripture in Luke chapter 21. This is where Jesus is talking about the last days. He's telling his disciples, this is the way it's going to be just before I return to the earth. And he made this statement in one of those verses. He said, in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. There's a lot of heart trouble in the world today. There's a lot of people whose hearts are failing them because there's a lot of fear in the world. Violence is all around us. I'm sure violence has always been in the world. If you read the Old Testament, you know violence has always been in the world. But it seems that it's increased, hasn't it? And now, you know, I used to love to fly. I flew all over the place teaching and doing conferences. And now when I have to fly, I really pray before I get on that plane. Because there's just so much violence around us. And we really need to plead the blood of Jesus and believe the Lord for safety when we travel because of the violence. We see sickness and death all around us. Disease all around us. You say, boy, this is really depressing. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Our nation, though, is in crisis. You do know that, don't you? Our world is in crisis. Man's hearts are failing them for fear. But in the Psalms, in Psalms 112, verse 7, David wrote a wonderful scripture. He said, I will not be afraid of evil tidings. If you watch the news, you hear evil tidings every day. Some people watch the news two or three times a day. Some people listen to commentaries all day long about the news. Evil tidings, evil tidings. But David said, our hearts don't have to be afraid of evil tidings. Our heart can be fixed, trusting in the Lord. So we're going to talk about fear tonight, some different dimensions of fear, some different types of fear, and how we can handle them. And if you're dealing with fear in your life, well, perhaps tonight you'll get your answer and you can be delivered from fear before you leave this place. Wouldn't that be great? If you could walk out of here fear-free and full of power, I believe that for you. First of all, let's talk about the origin of fear. It's good to know the origin of something. You know, if I get sick, I want to know what's the origin of that sickness. What did I do wrong that made me sick? What can I correct that will correct this sickness? And so a part of overcoming fear is discovering the origin of fear. And the Bible tells us the origin of fear. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul is writing to his protege Timothy, and he said this, Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So there's a lot of information there about the origin of fear and the solution to fear in that one little short verse. First of all, fear is not from God. God has not given us the spirit of fear. If you're afraid, it's not from God. No, God makes you strong. God makes you courageous. God does not make you afraid. Now, what about the fear of the Lord? Well, that's a whole different ballgame. That's not a bad fear. That's a good fear. And the word fear in fear of the Lord means reverence for the Lord, awe for the Lord, standing in awe and reverence of not terror. He's a terror to those who don't serve him, but to his children. When we stand in fear of the Lord, that means we respect him, we honor him, we love him. Doesn't mean we're terrified of him. No, the spirit of fear is not from the Lord, but it is a spirit. Fear is a spiritual force. There's actually a spirit of fear. I have experienced, you know, we're going to talk about three different types of fear. We're really not going to talk about the first one. The first one is caution. Caution is a good fear. You know, caution tells us that our children shouldn't play in the street. That's dangerous. Have you ever, I know all, both my husband and my daughter and I have often, not often, but occasionally said when we were going to do something and we felt a check in our spirit, It just felt, don't go there, don't do that, be careful. That was the Holy Spirit, and it was a caution from the Holy Spirit to keep us from going somewhere we shouldn't go, or from being in a place we shouldn't be, or to deliver us. And that's caution. That's good. That's good. You should be cautious about what you eat. You should be cautious about your lifestyles. You should be cautious. That's good. That's not bad. So we're not going to talk anymore about that. That's all I'm going to say about caution. Turn to your neighbor and say, be cautious. That's a good fear. The second type of fear we don't experience a lot. I'm going to talk about it a little bit tonight, but not a whole lot, because most of us in our lifetime may experience this type of fear once or twice. I've experienced it twice. And that is the haunting fear of death, or the terror of death. Psalms 91 talks about the terror of death. Our young men and women that have to go to the battlefield have to face this type of fear. And if you've ever faced a death-threatening disease. In my case, when I had cancer, when I was diagnosed with cancer, 2 days after I was diagnosed with cancer, the spirit of fear, the terror of death attacked me. I mean, attacked me. It was just unreal. And so I had to deal with that. And you know how I dealt with it? This is really interesting how I dealt with it. I'll just tell you real quickly. It's not in my notes, but it's okay. I probably told you before, but if you haven't heard it, it'll help you to hear it. I woke up and I was terrified. I just was terrified. And I tried to pray and I couldn't pray. Did you know the terror of death will, if it comes on you strong enough, it's hard to pray. And I cried out, I said, Lord, help me. I can't pray. What can I do? And immediately I knew what I had to do. I needed the word. I needed the word of God. Christy was just a little girl. She was maybe five, no more than five. And so I said, Christy, go in my office and get one of those cassettes. This is how long ago it was. If those of you who don't know what a cassette was, sort of like an MP3 in a little box. And I had the Bible on cassette. Now I said, go in there and get me one of those cassettes from my Bible set and bring me a tape recorder. And she came toddling out of the study, and she had a cassette. She couldn't read. She didn't know what she'd gotten. She just got one of those CDs out of that box. And her little Fisher-Price plastic tape recorder. And I put that tape in, and it was the Psalms. It was the Psalms. And I began to listen to the word, and God caused a deep sleep to fall on me. I fell asleep listening to the word. It was a 90-minute tape. When the first side was finished, it clicked off. And when it clicked off, it woke me up. And I flipped it over and started it again. And again, I fell asleep. What did God do? He put my mind to sleep. He put my emotion to sleep so he could push the word down into my spirit. When I woke up the second time, I was not afraid. And that spirit never has come back to me. Yeah, I had a battle ahead of me. I fought that battle. But I was not overcome by the terror of death. I knew I wasn't going to die. I knew the greater one lived in me. I knew by the stripes of Jesus I was healed, and I was ready for the fight. And I fought a good fight and I won. Hallelujah. Now that tells you, you know, that it happened to my daughter a few years ago. And when she went through a crisis where she was attacked, and my husband called me and told me what was going on, I was out of state, that terror of death tried to come back. I knew what to do, only I added something to it this time. I couldn't get to my word to turn it on and go to sleep. So I started praying in tongues. I didn't know the solution, but the Holy Ghost did. I started praying in tongues. Listen, if you feel the terror of death coming at you, just start yelling in tongues. Actually, when my husband called me, I was sitting in a coffee shop with my friend, and I hung up the phone and I just jumped up and started toward the elevator. She said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And I just sort of spit it out. And I said, "Pray, pray now." And we got in the elevator, and there's a woman in the elevator. And we just started praying in tongues, and that woman backed up. We didn't care. We didn't care. We had a warfare to fight. My baby's life was in danger, and I was determined the enemy wasn't going to get her, and he didn't. He didn't. So, you know, you got to come against that thing. That's a demonic force. But there's another one we're going to talk about tonight. And probably this is the one we battle daily. Anxiety, stress, worry. That's fear. That's a type of fear. So we're going to talk about that. Fear is actually an emotion. It's a spirit. He attacks your mind, and it affects your emotions. You feel fear. How many of you know you feel fear? Anything you feel is an emotion. Now, fear and faith are not direct, they're opposites. But did you know you can feel fear and still move in faith? Now, some people tell you you can't, but I know you can't because I've done it. You have to recognize fear for what it is. Then you have to press through in any way. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust God. I know I'm still feeling this, but I'm going to confess the word. I'm going to pray in the spirit. I'm going to believe God. He's going to deliver me. You got to make up your mind. It is a spiritual force. And because it is felt, we can safely say that we experience fear as an emotion. So it's an emotional thing. And it can paralyze our faith for a moment or two because it will confuse your mind. Fear will confuse your mind. The enemy is out to destroy you. You know, John 10:10 tells you that the enemy came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So don't expect him to do anything else. Don't expect him to be nice to you. He's not nice. The enemy is mean. And it will affect your entire invisible man. It will affect you. It will confuse your mind. It will affect your emotions. And it will cause you not to be able to make good decisions. Do you know you don't always make good decisions when you're fearful? So we have to overcome it. Now notice that he said God didn't give you a spirit of fear. And then he gave him the solution. This is what God gives you. He gives you power. That's the force of the Holy Spirit within you. He gives you love, which reflects itself in confidence and trust in God. And it brings you peace of mind. And he says, then you'll have a sound mind. If you begin to operate the power of God, if you begin to exercise in the love of God and the trust in God, then your mind will become stabilized and you will be able to think clearly and make good decisions. If you don't, fear has the potential of bringing bondage into your life. It does. Let me give you a scripture. Hebrews 2:14. I love this scripture. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death, one translation says the haunting fear of death, were all their life subject to bondage. Now look at that just for a minute. Just hold it on the screen, guys, for a minute. I want you to notice verse 15. Through the haunting fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You can turn that scripture around and you can say this: if we can step beyond fear, then we will no longer be subject to bondage. Is that right? Says right there that he came to deliver those who through fear all their lifetime were subject to bondage. So through Jesus, we can step beyond fear and we will no longer be subject to bondage. That's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. Now let's talk about some of the things fear will do. I'm just going to go down a list quickly to give you some of the areas in your life that are affected by fear if you can't overcome it. Fear will cause illness in your body. Theme scripture, men's hearts failing them for fear of things that are coming on the earth. So fear can bring illness. Fear causes you to think negatively because it attacks your mind and your emotion. So rather than being positive, fear will cause you to be negative. A person that's walking in fear and a person that's walking in faith can face the very same situation, but they won't see it the same way. A person walking in fear and dominated by fear will only see the negative possibilities, while a person who's walking in faith, free from fear, will see the potential for a miracle every time. See, it changes the way you think. Do you need to change the way you think? Well, you need to step beyond fear. Fear negatively affects your speech because you will begin to confess the problem rather than faith, because you can't see faith when you're blinded by fear. Here's another one. It will affect your actions because it'll cause you to react negatively or not react at all. Sometimes it'll freeze you and you just do nothing and you need to do something. But you need to do something that's right. You need to do the right thing. So you need to let the Holy Spirit lead you. Fear will cause you to lose sight of your purpose and identity. There are a lot of people who the enemy has just convinced them they are worthless worms. They are just good for nothing. He's just convinced them. They just worry and fret all the time. And they cannot see their potential or the hand of God in their life. Fear causes you to forget what God has said or done. There's a story in Mark chapter 4 that illustrates this beautifully. The disciples had been with Jesus all day. They had been ministering all day long. He'd been healing the sick. He'd been speaking the word. It had been a glorious day. It was the end of the day. They came down to the sea and Jesus said, "Let's get in that boat and go to the other side." And so they got in the boat and they started out. And Jesus said, "I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap." And he went to the back of the boat and he went to sleep. And a storm came up. You know this story, don't you? And a storm came up and the waves were breaking and splashing around. And the disciples went and woke him up and said, "Master, Master, wake up. Don't you care? We're perishing." And he stood up and he said, "Where is your faith?" Indicating they'd misplaced it. And then he said, "Peace be still." Now, here's the problem. They got into fear, and fear caused them to forget some things. First of all, fear caused them to forget what he had said. It'll do the same to you. He didn't say, "Let's get in this boat and go out there and drown. Let's get in this boat and go out there and sink." He didn't say that. He said, "Let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. You need to find out in the Word of God what God has said about you. And quit listening to what the devil has said about you." That was the first thing. The second thing was they forgot who was in the boat with them. They forgot that the creator of the universe was asleep in that boat. Now, well, you can't forget who's with you. He's not just with me, he's in me. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he doesn't just dwell with me, he's in me. He's going to take care of me. He's going to lead me. He's going to help me. I don't have to be afraid. I can trust him. And the third thing they forgot his power. Don't forget his power. He had power over that storm. He has power over your storm. He has power over your sickness. He has power over your finances. He is God Almighty. He has all power. And fear will cause you to run from God's plan. I don't know how many times I've heard people, they get depressed. It'll bring depression. Fear brings depression. And they get discouraged. And instead of running to God, they run away from God. "Well, I just feel like I need to just leave church for a while." That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That is not the time you need to leave church. If you're depressed, if you're going through something difficult, you don't need to leave church. You need to press in. Fear distorts your perception of life and opens the door to depression and discouragement. And finally, fear will cause you to lose your focus. And I've already talked about these three types of fear, but I want to talk now about the type of fear, nagging fear or worry. Is there anybody here who has never worried in your life? Let me see your hand. I'm looking around because if you raise your hand, we're going to pray for you because you are lying. You have a real problem with lying because every person has a problem with this. So Philippians 4, if you want to know how to handle this type of fear, Philippians 4 tells us very clearly. It says this in Philippians 4, beginning with verse 6. "Do not fret or have any anxiety." And that word fret means worry. "Do not fret or worry or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace will be yours." Now, that is the opposite of worry, by the way. Peace is the opposite of worry. And so it says, if you'll do this, then God's peace will be yours, that tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ. So fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot, whatever sort that might be, that peace which transcends all understanding will guard and garrison over your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So that gives us a real key. And this is, as I said, it's the most common type of fear, worry. Any mother that has, if you've ever had a child, you know about worry. In fact, if you've ever been married, you know about worry. If you've been single all your life, you know about worry. Worry is just a common thing. We worry about all sorts of things. We worry that we'll get fired. We worry that we won't get a job. We worry that we won't get fired because we want to get fired. We worry that we won't ever get married. We worry that we've married the right person. We worry that our children are going to be strong in the Lord. We worry. My mother would say, you are a worry wart. I have no idea what that means. But my mother used to say that a lot. But listen, this scripture gives you the key. When anxiety comes, pray. When I got that call about my daughter going through that crisis, I didn't even have to think twice about what I needed to do. I didn't say, now what should I do? I wonder if I should pray. No, I knew. I knew the one that had the answer. And I knew I had to cry out and I had to do some spiritual warfare. I knew who was after her. I knew who wanted to kill her. It was the devil. He knew her future. He knew the good things he had for her. And I'll tell you, I've made up my mind. I'm not going to die and I'm not letting my family die. If I have anything to say about it, we're going to all live to be really old. And all of you too, I pray for you all the times. You ought to be with us in our staff prayer meetings. We pray for you all the time. We pray that you'll be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that you'll overcome, that the Lord will wipe all the sorrow out of your heart, that the Lord will supply your needs. We pray for you. Next time the enemy says, nobody cares what's happening to you, say, are you stupid? I know that they're praying for me at the ark. So the next time worry comes, this is what you do. You pray. Now, it's interesting. This verse mentions three different types of prayer. It says pray. That's general prayer. That's just your general prayer. But then it says petition. Those are specific requests. It states that we're to continue to make our wants known to God, not just our needs. So if you're worried about something, tell the Lord. Lord, I'm worried about this. I'm having stress over this. Anxiety is in my life over this. I need your help in this area. And then it said, this is real interesting. Once you've prayed your general prayer, once you've been specific about your needs, then it says, with what? Thanksgiving. Wonder why he put that in there. There's a specific reason. When you stop and begin to remember what God has done for you in the past, actually, Thanksgiving is a celebration of the blessings of God in your life. So when I begin to be thankful, if I'm struggling with sickness in my body and I'm praying and I'm a little worried about my body and I say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I remember that you healed me of a back condition when I was a young girl. Thank you for that, Father. I want to thank you, Father, for healing me of cancer. I just want to stop and thank you for that, Father. And you know, as I began to thank the Lord for all the times in the past that he's done those things for me, I stop and I think, I don't need to worry about this. Why should I worry about this little old sickness when God has already done all that other stuff for me? How about finances? Lord, I just think you've always met my needs. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us good jobs. I thank you, Lord, that our bills are paid. I thank you, Lord, that you always supply my needs according to your riches and glory. And when I began to thank the Lord, all of a sudden the potential of financial ruin goes away because I realize who God is. I realize what God has said, and I realize his power. And it changes everything. And all of a sudden that worry is replaced by a peace. And then I can quote Proverbs 3:5-6. Lord, I trust you. I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I don't understand how you're going to do it. It looks impossible to me, but I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge you, and I know you're going to direct my path. Do you see how that works? That will lift. Worry, you got to know this about worry. Worry will not change your circumstances. You can worry until you turn blue and fall over. It won't change anything. But prayer will. Prayer will change your circumstances. Prayer will activate the will of God in your life. Prayer will activate the power of God in your life. Prayer can change something. So don't worry, pray. Pray. You know, there's a scripture in Matthew 6 that talks about this. It says, I tell you, don't be perpetually uneasy, anxious, or worried about your life. And then it tells you the parts of your life. Don't worry what you're going to eat. Don't worry what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body, what you're going to put on. Life is greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing. And then jump down to 27, and it says, and who of you, actually 26 talks about birds. 27 says, and who of you by worrying and being anxious can add one unit of measure to your stature or to the span of your life? See, you're not going to change anything by worrying, but you can trust the Lord. If you go on down in that scripture, then you'll find out that what we're supposed to do instead of worry is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those things will be added. Seek first the kingdom. Get your focus on God. Seek God. And let Him, I just skipped a verse, but that's okay. Seek first, aim at, strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness and His way of doing things. And all these things will be added to you besides. So the real key to worry is to redirect your thoughts and your attention to God. You've got to hold your mind in place. I want to share one more word from the Lord, and then I'm going to give you some real practical things about it. There's a scripture in Isaiah 41 that I love this scripture, and I love it in the Amplified Bible. You know there are two Amplified Bibles? I didn't know there, but there are two, just in case you wanted to know that. And I like the classic. Fear not. You know, I think 80 times, over 80 times in the Bible, we're told, fear not. Fear not. There is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. I'm your God. Listen to what God's going to do. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to harden you to difficulties. I'm going to help you. I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Behold, all who are enraged and inflamed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. They who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. Now, let's just think about all that said. There's several things. First of all, God is with you. I will not fear evil reports. God is with me. The 23rd Psalm, you know, we've been quoting the 23rd Psalm a lot this year and praying the 23rd Psalm. And there's, I think it's verse 3 or 4, where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's that terror of death kind of fear, I will fear no evil. And then it tells you why. Because you're with me. You're with me. I don't have to be afraid. Even if I'm in a life-threatening situation, I don't have to be afraid. God is with me. He says this, I'm with you. Then He said this, I'm your God. You don't serve some dead God. You serve a live God. He is God. He created the heavens and the earth. He is in control. I love to say, one of the things I've started saying the first part of May, there was a situation, it just kind of rolled up out of my spirit, and I've been saying it ever since. God is orchestrating this, it'll be all right. Whatever you're doing, if you're walking it out in the spirit, God is orchestrating it. It'll be all right. He is God. Then He says, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to give you strength. You might have a little battle to fight. You know, when I faced the terror of death with sickness in my body, when Joy faced sickness in her body, there was a battle to be fought. I'd like to tell you, you never have to fight a battle, but you do. The good news is He will strengthen you, and He will help you, and He will hold you up with His right hand. Finally tonight, let me give you just a couple of practical ways to overcome fear. First of all, remember, fear is an emotion. While your faith is from your spirit, your emotions simply report what you're feeling. The enemy will bring you all sorts of reports to your mind that will cause you to feel the emotion of fear. So in order to stop fear, then you have to move into faith. Fear will distract you from your faith, so you have to move away from fear. Recognize it. The second thing you have to do with fear is you have to resist it. You know the Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee from you? Did you know the Bible says that? And you know, cringing in fear and balling up in that little fetal position, it's not resisting him. Standing up on the word of God, and when Jesus resisted him, I loved it. When the enemy came to Jesus and got him to try to question who he was, he answered with the word, it is written. It is written. It's really a good way to answer the devil, to resist him. So recognize that fear is an emotion. Second, resist it. Hold your mind in place. Bring your mind back into focus. Fill your mind. You know, that same chapter in Philippians 4 that tells you how to handle worry, if you keep reading, it says this is what you need to think about. You need to fill your mind with these things. And it gives you a whole list. Whatever's good. We could sing that. Stand up and sing it. Just no, we sing that song. Whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is just, whatever is right. You've got to fill your mind with things that will keep you from fear. Isaiah 26:3 says, I'll keep you in perfect peace. That's the opposite of fear. If your mind is stayed on me, because then you will trust me. If you can keep your mind fixed on the Lord, you will trust the Lord. So recognize the thoughts of fear, capture the thoughts of fear, and then replace the thoughts of fear with Scripture. Replace the thoughts of fear with Scripture. Make the choice to trust God. If you want to write down a few scriptures that'll help you, well, write down Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I quoted that one a minute ago. Here's another one. Psalms 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust the Lord. It's a decision. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm not going to just walk around in fear. I'm going to press through this fear. I'm going to trust the Lord. Here's another one. Psalms 46:1. God is my refuge. God is my strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. I will not fear. See, that's a decision. I will not fear. It's a decision. And Psalms 23:4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So make the decision to step beyond fear, because just beyond fear is your miracle. Just beyond fear is your answer. Just beyond fear is your peace. Did that help you? There may be someone here tonight who has never made Jesus the Lord of your life. We want to give you an opportunity tonight to do that. If you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you would like to tonight, slip your hand in the air. I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to call you to come forward, but we're going to pray with you. Anybody here like that? Just slip your hand in the air. You may be here and you say, Billy, I know I'm born again. I've made Jesus the Lord of my life, but I'm away from Him. And I would really like for you to pray for me. I need to rededicate my life tonight. If that's you, slip your hand in the air. All over the room. I see your hands. I see your hands. All over the room. I see your hands. We're going to pray a little prayer for you and to rededicate your life to the Lord. And then I know there are people in this room that are struggling with fear. The Lord never impresses me to teach something unless somebody needs it. So if you're in this room and you've been struggling with fear, as soon as we finish this prayer, I'm going to pray for you. So just hold steady. Let's all pray. Just bow your heads. And even if you didn't raise your hand, you can pray this prayer. You know God sees your heart. Pray this prayer from your heart, and you can be born again. You can be restored back to fellowship with the Lord right now. Pray after me. Oh, God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins, and God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.